It's International Tiger Day. Rare.
What the fuck?
Rare.
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 Rare. Hello, patrons. You've come here to listen to us make tiger noises for half an hour.
Yes, hello, patrons. After, whatever, 2 minutes of tiger noises and problems with our time dot is, we're here.
We are here, and we have something very special planned for today, because we are going to share with you the Vatican Cookbook. The Vatican Cookbook is actually a full-on, full-fledged, quite large recipe book that we ordered online, and it is written by David Geiser, Erwin Niederberger, and Thomas Kelly, who are all members of the Swiss Guard, and there are 110 today. So this book is presented by the Swiss Guard, and it says, 500 years of classic recipes, papal tributes, and exclusive images of life and art at the Vatican. And seriously, this book, Fry, I know you can't see it because I have the hard copy, but it is gorgeous. The photos in here of the popes and the Swiss Guard and the food, and there's photos of the Vatican. There's a wonderful photo of all of the Swiss Guards with Pope Francis in the Sistine Chapel. But, like, Pope Francis is right in the middle, so he's right where the spine of the book is. And so he's kind of, like, hiding. You have to, like, pull the book out.
He's smooshed.
But there's pictures of Castello Gandolfo. There's pictures of, like, special places in the Vatican Gardens, the museums. It is a really, really gorgeous book. And beyond that, it has a lot of recipes. There are recipes. I'm going to read the categories for you of all the recipes, the segments of recipes that they have. They have recipes for the swearing in of the Swiss Guards that happens on the 6th of May, favorite recipes from Pope Francis, favorite recipes from Benedict the 16th, favorite recipes of Pope John Paul II, favorite recipes of the Vatican personnel and officers of the Guard, recipes that revolve around life in the Swiss Guard, the uniforming of the Swiss Guard, the patron saints of the Guard, holidays at the Vatican, special places of the Vatican, the museums of the Vatican, recipes from Castel Gandolfo, recipes that are favorites of Rome in general, and then a bunch of basic Italian recipes if you are looking to get your Italian cook on. And that's exactly what you and I did.
Mm-hmm.
We actually committed to this quite a while ago, and it took a bit of time to kind of prepare and get it together, but we committed that we were going to pick some recipes from this book and actually make them ourselves and kind of go through the process of what that was like and try the food and see if it was any good. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your recipe? You made polenta towers and chicken, which is a recipe revolving around life in the Swiss Guard. And it has polenta with chicken broth and coarse polenta and plastic wrap. Chicken sliced. It says plastic wrap here as an ingredient.
Delicious.
It has 1 pound of chicken slice, white or dark meat, olive oil, white wine, chicken broth, heavy cream, paprika, mushrooms, garlic cloves, flat leaf parsley, sea salt, and fresh ground pepper. Tell us about it.
Full disclosure, I did not make any towers.
Yeah, this tower is very impressive in the photo, and we will post photos of the recipes we made and our own creations.
Nailed it.
Yeah, exactly. This is our nailed it.
I could not find any dry grits, dry corn polenta stuff, which is weird, but whatever. I bought already made polenta. It was not very flavorful. And I definitely used not white wine, but the white wine cooking stuff, the non-alcoholic stuff.
We did the same thing for that one, too.
Yes. It was pretty good. except for the flavorless polenta.
Did the heavy cream not add to the flavorless polenta?
I mean, the polenta itself didn't have any much flavor. Like, everything on top of it was great, but the polenta itself was kind of meh.
So your tip walking away from this recipe would definitely be to, for however, if you can, to find actual coarse polenta that is not pre-made.
Is it just cornmeal? It's not just cornmeal. I think it's like a different thing. Grits? I don't know.
Grit? Yeah. Grits kind of scare me a little bit. That's just such a weird American thing.
Well, I know Uncle Johnny always gets the polenta and will sometimes give it to us, and I don't know where he gets it because he lives in Kentucky.
We needed to ask Uncle Johnny for the recipe.
Needed to ask Uncle Johnny for the polenta. You know what? I was actually going to look in my Aunt Alice's cookbook to see if she had a polenta recipe, but I didn't. I didn't end up going over to the bookshelf and looking. For those of you patrons who might possibly live in Kentucky, in Louisville, my Aunt Alice used to write for the newspaper there. She had like a kind of Martha Stewart-y type column. And now she has a cookbook. Basically, it has all of the Columbo family recipes in it, which is my grandma's family recipes. So, good news. You guys get to cook my family recipes, but also I didn't have to try to parse them out of my grandmother.
There is a benefit for that, for sure.
Yes. A little bit, you know, you just sort of throw it in a pot. Grandma, what do I throw in a pot? I've always wanted to do, like, a cooking show where it's just some grandma who's like, this is my recipe. And then someone has to recreate it, and whoever gets closest wins, because I think that would be a great idea. But
as they just haphazardly throw things in the pot and season it by memory and say, you just do it till it's good.
Yeah, right? It's kind of like Nailed It, but grandma's.
Excellent.
Lots of you're a good trier.
That would be harder, by far. This is our Vatican Nailed It trial, by the way. I mean, there are desserts, which we can totally do a Vatican Nailed It for. At some point, I was like very, very like into the idea of making alfajores just because they're Pope Francis's favorite cookies.
Oh, yeah. He does love those.
Yeah, and it required, like, some pre-making of dulce de leche, and I just did not have the time for that. So I'm like, okay, there are a bunch of recipes in here that actually sound entirely amazing. So this is a cookbook we will definitely be coming back to in my house for sure. So yeah, there are a lot of recipes. There's recipes for like soups and delicious pasta and all sorts of things besides the two recipes that we did that we will definitely do in the future, because I want to do like all of Pope Francis's recipes. But for this episode and to go through it for our first time, what we were able to do is find both my favorite Italian food and Jordan's favorite Italian food in here, which was, for me, it was chicken arrabbiata. So it has tomatoes peeled and diced, chicken thighs, hot paprika, onions, garlic cloves, peppercini, bay leaf, sprigs of rosemary, anchovy fillets pureed, olive oil, sea salt, and fresh ground black pepper.
Ah, yes, the pepperoncinis.
Yes, and I love pepperoncinis so much. I could eat them just like candy, so this was great.
You could eat them like candy?
Yeah, all the time. I am the queen of spice. I have no spice threshold that is too hot for me.
Unless it's fake, like when they dump the capsaicin in and not actually anything.
That is a very specific story, because I have no spice threshold, and you can give me any hot pepper you want and I will eat it and have no problem. However, I went to a restaurant once where they poured pure capsaicin powder on the food, and that's just pure acid. So it actually caused a massive internal acid reflux reaction to me, and I threw up in a gas station bathroom, and it was the most undignified moment of my life, and I will never forget it because that's not real spicy food.
Yeah, every time I see, like, eat our spicy food challenge, and they just are like, and then we dump capsaicin on it, and I'm like, you're a cheater.
That's, yeah, not only are you a cheater, but that's reckless, because people with certain health conditions can be very deeply affected by that, and I would hope they're not ordering super spicy food, but, like, even for me, who can handle anything, I was literally on my knees in a gas station bathroom puking my guts out, and I don't throw up that often. It was terrible. But this food for this episode did not make me do that because...
Because you were gentle and you just put the pepperoncinis in it.
Well, on that note, generally Italian food by my standards has no spice level whatsoever. And that generally doesn't work for myself and my husband. Which, by the way, we turned this into a date night and we cooked together because he's usually the cook in our household. He loves to cook. He's an amazing cook. So he's like, I'd love to do that. So
I did see the photos. They were very cute. I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, Fry actually gets to meet my husband so soon. Finally, after 13, 14 years of friendship. But yeah, he wanted to do it with me. And we both have a really high spice tolerance. So we added some spice to this recipe. So aside from the pepperoncini, we also added quite a bit of hot paprika, and then we used chili flakes as well, because we didn't want to overpower it, but we just kind of wanted to kick it up a bit. We also just bought anchovy puree, because I don't handle seafood being around seafood very well, even.
Oh, they wanted actual anchovies. Okay.
Yeah, they wanted you to puree them, and if I was around that, I would be like, ooh, so... We just did that, and everything else we kept the same from the recipe, and it was really good. The only downside was the fresh ground. We actually bought peppercorns and fresh ground our own pepper in the mortar and pestle, and whatever peppercorns we got were super, super bitter. So even though the dish was delicious, it had a nice spice level, the tomatoes were really lovely, everything turned out really well, there was this underlying bitterness from the pepper. And we also had this problem with the other recipe that we made, which I'll go over in a minute. But it just kind of, if we did it again, I would be very, very selective of which peppercorns I used. They were just standard black peppercorns, but something was awry with them and they were, yeah, it was, I love black pepper. We crush it up all the time. It was very unfortunate because it was just, it left this very kind of bitterness.
I don't think I've ever had a black peppercorn be like bitter. Weird.
When we were eating it, because it was in both dishes, we're like, what is that? Because there's not a ton of crossover between the two recipes. So we actually had to taste the pepper on its own, and it was pretty strong. So that was a bit unfortunate, but it was still absolutely delicious. Ours came out, like, if you look at the photo, which we'll post up with this, it's the chicken. Oh, we also use chicken breasts instead of chicken thighs. But if you look at the picture, the sauce is very, like, kind of light and sort of, like, not very heavy. Ours was, like, super chonk, and it had, like, all the good stuff on it. So it was really, really, really delicious. And we really enjoyed that one, aside from the whole black bitter pepper thing. And by the way, that recipe was from Castel Gandolfo. So it was one of the recipes that come from the Pope's summer home. The next recipe we did was my husband's favorite Italian dish. And this is in the favorites of Rome section. And you'll see why, because it's a spaghetti alla carbonara. So it's a very simple recipe, but he dreams in carbonara and he loves it. So he was like, I actually want to learn to make this properly. Not the crappy sort of fake milk and cream version you get here, but properly with eggs. So this recipe had spaghetti, bacon, diced bacon, white wine, eggs, grated pecorino, sea salt, and fresh ground black pepper. This one turned out pretty much exactly spot on. It looked exactly like the photos. There was no difference in texture or anything. Again, we used the non-alcoholic white wine cooking version because neither of us do anything with alcohol. Not that that's really a problem because it cooks out, but you know, just out of the way that we normally do things, we just decided to do that.
I have it because like If I have a bottle of white wine in the house, someone's going to drink it, and I won't have it for another recipe. So I've got the sherry, and I've got the red wine, and I've got the white wine.
Yeah, so we just did it because it's not something we're going to use a whole lot. And so just having wine in the house is something we're like, you know, it's just going to sit there forever otherwise. If it's at least cooking stuff, you know, it's there. So this one was super, super easy, and I think he was delighted at how super easy it was for him to actually make. So I think we'll be eating this one a lot. You know, pecorino is kind of it was kind of unfortunate because it also sort of has a little bit of a bitter taste to it in general. So with the pepper, that kind of sucked a little bit, but it was the pepper in this recipe is to taste. So there was less of it, and so it was still really, really delicious and creamy and lovely. So that was a lot of fun. And it was a great date night. You know, we got married in Italy last year, so we turned on our wedding song and was listening to Andrea Bocelli, and we're cooking in the kitchen, and the dogs are running around, and we sat down and had a lovely Italian meal that brought us right back to, you know, our first couple days in Rome before we went to Florence to get married.
That's pretty cute. I just cooked it earlier for dinner and the children ate it. And then I told my husband that he was not allowed to eat any.
Poor John. Did the kids like it?
Ember ate hers and then Rowan ate everything but the polenta.
Fair enough, because it was tasteless and pre-made polenta.
Yes. My husband, he's allergic to heavy cream. I guess not allergic, he's just very intolerant the higher creams get.
Jordan is as well, and so we generally try to avoid it. So that's why, he wanted to learn to make the proper carbonara.
So that he's not, like, sick.
Yeah, it's just eggs and cheese, and it's so easy when you've got the pasta in there and it just starts to all coalesce and get all, like, creamy and delicious. But there are, again, so many recipes in this book that are amazing. And just some of the basic recipes, like it gives you how to properly make pizza dough. In the basic section, house potatoes, even like French fried potatoes, potatoes au gratin, spätzle, which is, you know, of course, very, very German.
That's probably under Ratzinger's area.
Yes, and also under John Paul, because a lot of his favorite recipes are very, very Polish, and there is some crossover. There is a recipe for pierogies in here. They have Francis's favorite recipe listed as Argentine empanadas on pepper salad, which also sounded good.
Empanadas are great.
But there's raisins in the empanadas, which was strange to me, so that one I will do when I'm feeling.
Is it, like, beef? Pork?
It's usually meat-based, so let's see. Beef sirloin, pine nuts, black olives, raisins, eggs, sheet of puff pastry, egg yolk, sea salt, and fresh ground black pepper.
Raisins are there to cut all that extra vinegar stuff.
Yeah, see, I love vinegar. Like, if there is a thing that I crave almost as much as spice, it is vinegar. And I also don't do olives, so that's a recipe we'll have to adopt a little bit when we do it, but there are a lot of great ones in here. I highly recommend this book, actually. We didn't pay a lot for it. I think it was, in the end, it was like $30 Canadian, and there are going to be a lot of recipes we're going to try. We're definitely going to bring some of these Holidays of the Vatican recipes back for the holidays, because they're like German desserts and beefsteak and rabbit and almond sauce, but that is not one I am going to make. I'm very selective about a lot of the meats that I eat, so I basically do chicken and turkey and the occasional beef, and that's pretty much it. So I'm not gonna eat a rabbit. Maybe I'll make chicken and almond sauce.
Where do you even get a rabbit?
Man, people like hunting. It's not my thing, but I'm sure I would not hunt, and but, you know, maybe you just have to be like, friend who hunts, bring me a rabbit? You know, the Vatican clearly doesn't have any problems with this, because there's a lot of strange choices. There's a recipe in here for monkfish.
Oh. Gross.
And there's a recipe for smoked eel.
Also gross. Nope, I lied. I like eel sometimes. I eat barbecue eel sushi.
That sounds absolutely terrible. So, that's one I'll leave for you. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting things in this book. And if anybody on Patreon wants to see a full list of the recipes, I can post that if you're interested in doing anything. I'd love for someone to pick this book up and start cooking recipes and sending us stuff, especially if you're passionate about food. That would be really cool, actually. And if you want to participate in Vatican Nailed It, maybe that's something we have to do.
We don't have $10,000 to give away.
No, it would just be for funsies. I don't know, maybe once we get merchandise and get those pins on the go, we'll actually do that. But yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in here. There's a lot of photos, there's a lot of sections that I could just read to you, but it's more fun to just discuss what we actually did with it and how we actually put this into practice. So this is our, you know, our little blip in July because we didn't have an antipope. We will have an antipope next month, and then we're kind of done with antipopes for the rest of the year to keep up with where they are in the historical narrative. There will not be another one, but if there's anything you'd like to see us do in that September, October, November, December months, I have a Christmas special kind of in mind. We're thinking about doing the Young Pope and going through it and reviewing it and talking about why I hate it so much before the new show comes out, because there is a sequel to the Young Pope coming out called The New Pope with John Malkovich, which was, you know, filming in Rome not too long ago, so it's not far away. And if there's anything else you want to see, let us know. We got lots of time to figure that out and give you the best. And if you're looking for something else to listen to in those months, we can announce it here because it's not somewhere super, super public. But in December, we just recorded a crossover for the holidays with the Numenera actual play podcast called Quest Friends, in which Fry and I got to play Amber Popes and Anti-Popes. And
that was a good time.
It was, my face hurt from laughing so much when we were finished. There were feels and frustrations to be had and lots of character development. So
it was a good time.
It was a really good time. And they tried really, really, really hard to get me into the Christmas spirit. So yeah, you should definitely check that out if you're, or at least make a note of it for December, because it will definitely come out then. But yeah, that's it for us for now. If there's any recipes you'd like to hear more about, or if you'd love us to update when we actually do try more, let us know. And again, let us know what else you want to hear for the rest of the year. And with that, we can say thank you.
Bye!